All right, so today we'll be talking about deliverance. A lot of persons are interested in deliverance, right? And I will be taking it from both perspectives of being saved and those who are unsaved, because I believe both persons come for deliverance. Sometimes even in church you hear persons say, you know, they are here for deliverance, right? But do we really know what deliverance means? Now, I can point it to scripture at this time. It says that deliverance is a children's bread. What is he saying? He's saying that the people of God must be free. That's what that scripture is telling us. The people of God must be free. So when we're talking about the saved and the unsaved, Jesus is telling us here in this scripture that the people of God must be free. That's it. The people of God is free. Now, the situation had happened where a woman had approached Jesus for deliverance, for her child's deliverance, right? And Jesus said to her that deliverance is a children's bread. Now, she was an outsider, you know, and you know the story that she begged her way out, and by faith. So we see how faith comes in, how the unbeliever can come in by faith and still come in on the children's bread, the deliverance. Right, so at the time he was talking about Jews and Gentiles, because by right the Jews were the chosen people and the Gentiles were basically outsiders. Now the Gentiles came in on the gospel based on faith. Now this woman demonstrated faith in how she answered Christ by saying that she knows that deliverance is the children's bread, but in this case even the dogs, which is the outsiders, the Gentiles, you know, get the crumbs. So that is how now Jesus said, but wait, by faith, you know, by faith, the Gentiles coming by faith. So we can talk about the deliverance from the saved perspective and those who are unsaved, right? Let me first point out that the children, the people of God, cannot be possessed. I know that we have in doctrine a lot of things where this might sound contrary, but I will be giving you the word of God. And if you are true people of God who goes by the word of God, then you'll give me some time to clarify. All right, so the people of God cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. No, there's a difference. You remember that man that came to Jesus, the man of Gadarene, that man that was demon possessed with the legions, many demons. Now he was possessed. He wasn't in his right mind. The demons were basically dictating what he does, when he does it. So he was not in his right mind. Now that is possession. Oppression is different, because oppression, the Christian or the person is in their right mind, but they are being oppressed. They are being oppressed by... Alright, let me give you the example with the children of Israel. Pharaoh was oppressing the children of Israel. They were in their right minds, right? They were serving God, right? But Pharaoh was oppressing them, meaning they were in bondage. They were in what we call slavery. So they were being oppressed. So we would say that the children of Israel needed to be delivered, and that is how God raised up Moses to approach Pharaoh so that deliverance, which is a children's bread, can come to his people, the Israelites. All right, so I clarify oppressed and possessed. All right, oppression takes place where there's a transgression of God's law. Now, something might come to mind now, and I know many persons, you know, they might be thinking about Job in the Bible. Now, Job in the Bible, he was a just man, yet still he was afflicted. We're not talking about oppressed, we're talking about afflicted, meaning in his mind, mentally and physically, he was afflicted with sickness. And we know his case, Satan approached God and accused Job that Job is only righteous because God is giving him everything that he need to survive here on the earth, or wherever he was at the time, because some people have conflicting things about that. So in Job's case, Job was a just man, yet still he was afflicted. Alright, so we're still on deliverance, the children's bread. A born-again believer now, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit come and dwell in that person. And we can see that in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, how can we be possessed with a demon? Remember, God tells us that he's a jealous God. He does not share his glory with no one. Another thing, light and darkness. Wherever light is, how can darkness stay? When the light has come, darkness has to flee. So therefore, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us means that we cannot be possessed by a demon. Alright. And that is why I said that we need to get this doctrine right. Because in churches, we might be seeing where, or in other deliverance thing that we watch on TV or on YouTube or wherever, and we see where, you know, a deliverance minister, they might touch the person and the person fall to the ground and they start to spit and all of that, and we assume that it's a spirit leaving the person. Now, what happened there, you might be asking? What about that case? I would say to you, the same thing I said before, God does not share his vessels with no one. He doesn't share it, he's a jealous God. Sin is the problem. Sin, S-I-N, sin. Some way, somehow, a breach occurred, and therefore that is how the sin entered. And I'm talking now in the life of the believer, the one saved, sanctified, the believer, sin entered. And that is how the demon was able to enter. That thing where you see they're spitting out. And remember, it's not everything is real. Remember, some of those things fake. So you have to test the spirit as well to know what is really happening. Use spiritual eyes. Pray to God for spiritual eyes to see what is really happening. Because the word of God tells us that many false teachers, false prophets, false brethren, all kind of falseness in the world. So we have to test the spirit, we have to open spiritual eyes, and we have to see. Right? Now, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It dwells in the life of the believer. Now, I don't want to bore you, but let me pause here to point out something very important here. In the Old Testament, the priests would be the one appointed to enter the temple to do sacrifice. Now, this was the law before Jesus came to fulfill this law. Remember, Jesus didn't come to abolish any law. He came to fulfill the law. Now, fulfilling the law means that we can now boldly go before God for ourselves. So the priests don't have to go into any temple for us anymore. And note this carefully, that we are now the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Remember, our body is a temple now, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the sacrifice. The word of God says that we are holy and acceptable unto God. We should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Do you now see why the evil one cannot dwell here? He cannot dwell where God is. And how important our bodies are to the Almighty God. Alright, we're going back to the subject of the man with the gatherings, right? You remember when Jesus approached and he came to Jesus and he was saying that it's unlawful that you are here now, you know? Because they knew that the light has come. I remember the Holy Spirit was in Jesus. Jesus came in flesh. So it's the Holy Spirit in Jesus, giving him the power and allow, you know, him can communicate with the Father in heaven. Don't forget that Jesus came in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. So that was where his power came from. Right? So when the evil spirit, when the demons were before Jesus, they were afraid because they didn't want to be cast out. They know that the greater one has come. And look at it this way. Remember the scripture that tells us in 1 John 4:4? That greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You remember that scripture? So I'm proving to you again that The greater one lives in us, just as how Jesus Christ, the man of gathering with a demon possession, could stand him, could stay in where Jesus was, because they know the power. They know the power, and that is it. As Christians, we have the power, but it's because we don't know, so we have the power, while we crouch and say, oh, we oppress, oh, we possess, oh, we are going through this, oh, we are going through, but we have the power. Him say, greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. All right, so we could touch on how you get delivered now. Because remember, we said deliverance is the children's bread. We must be free. I remember now, sin is one of the things that has caused oppression in the life of a Christian. So we're talking about being free now. How you get free? Fast. You're going to need to fast. And pray. When we say prayer, we mean pray the word of God, not vain prayers. We're just babbling and speaking certain words, but praying the word of God, being deliberate in season, out of season, right? You're going to read and meditate on the word of God too, because the word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Good? We're going to need to love God. The word of God says, if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, everything, we are to love God. And look at this one now, we need to love each other. Let me ask you this. Did you know that when you love another person, you are loving God? You better never know that. In the beginning, when God made man, what did he tell us? He said that he made man in his image and his likeness. Why do you think God, apart from him being God, why do you think that he loves us so much? Because we are made in his image and his likeness. Now, how we treat each other, you know that will determine our eternal home. Let me prove this. Let's go to Matthew 25, right? And you can read it in your time. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. But I read a portion of it. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. All right, I'm going to read from verse 35. He said, for I was hungered, and he gave me meat. That is, he's talking about the ones that will be blessed and will inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Those who are saved, sanctified, and make heaven, or what we call heaven. He said, for I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger and he took me in. You never know this was in the Bible, not true. Naked and he clothed me. I was sick and he visited me. I was in prison and he came unto me. You see that? Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? Now listen to this. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So you see, when you love each other, you're automatically loving God. And God said, love him first and love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other. Now it was not so for those who ended up in hellfire. I'm saying hellfire is for the devil. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for human beings. But those now, he said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For he said that when he was hungered and they gave him no meat, he was thirsty and he gave him no drink, and the rest go on. And he said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall go into life eternal. Matthew 25:31 to 46. Read it in your spirit and meditate on it. You can also read about the rich man and Lazarus the beggar in St. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. And I won't go into that one. You read on that one in your spirit time. Alright, so we're going to give you more scriptures, because we're tearing away bad doctrine today. Proverbs 11 verse 9b tells us that through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So here is how we, the children of God, will be delivered. Deliverance, what we're talking about for God's people, is through knowledge. So this revelatory knowledge that you're getting today, that you're receiving now, this is how you shall be delivered. So whatever is oppressing you today, knowledge is what will give you deliverance, right? Now, I understand there must be sometimes there are covenants in place, right, from our generation, and godly covenant. It could be from us too, from sin, our lifestyle before we get saved, or even while we are saved, our lifestyle. So covenants can be in place, but therefore we need to utilize the weapons that God has given us. Remember, he told us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So therefore, when we say weapons, we are talking about using, say, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus can be used for cleansing. It can be used for sanctification. It used for justification. And justification, of course, is bringing us back to a state where it's like we never sinned before. So that is what the blood of Jesus has done. So we need to use the weapons. So when you pray scriptures relating to the blood of Jesus and claim on now to this new covenant that Jesus Christ has given unto us. He said that we are a new creation. When we become born again, we are a new creation. All things are passed away. This is now where all things are passed away and all things are become new. But we need to use up the weapons of our warfare. We need to also use the name of Jesus. Did you know that the name of Jesus is a weapon? God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In heaven, in earth, in the sea, wherever, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So this is another weapon that we as children of God must use to break known and unknown covenants that are in place. Now, when we touch on generational curses quickly, as it relates to generational curse, fasting and prayer must be in place. Use the word of God. It must be in place. And when I say generational curses, I'm talking about the parents might have done something and it passed down from generation to generation. Now, there's another scripture, you know, that says that no longer will the parents sin and the children teeth be gnashed. But it's saying that everyone has to stand on their own feet. So no longer will the parents sin be cast down to you, right? And so that is saying that you can sin too, you know, that cause you to be in the place that you are in. Good? So you can be in the place that you are in because of a curse, because of a curse now come about where you break the law. And because you break the law, God had put some things in place. Remember, the word of God cannot lie. His word don't go back to him void. So if you break the law, then there are consequences to breaking it. And that is how a curse comes in. But remember, I told you before, Proverbs 26 verse 2 tells us that the curse causeless cannot come. It's a reason it come. It's some transgression of the law why it comes. So all right then, we know the problem. What's the solution? As I said before, fasting and prayer must be in place. Meditating on the word of God night and day must be in place. Right? We must live a holy life. And you might be saying that, how can we live a holy life when we live in a world of sin? Yes, we can live a holy life. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a holy life. It said that Job was a just man, right? Noah was a just man, right? And this does not mean that they did not sin. This means that they did not willfully sin, mean that they did not deliberately know that something is sin and fly in a God face. Same way, they had the fear of God. That is what this is saying. David sinned, but David was a man after God's own heart. Why do you think this is so? Because David feared God. So that is what it is saying here. When we say to live a holy life, because God is holy, and without holiness, we cannot see God either. So why not just get with it? Instead of blocking your mind to say, no, you cannot live a holy life, get it in your mind that without holiness, none of us can see God, right? So do not live in willful sin. When the Spirit of God, which lives in us, the Holy Spirit that I've been talking about all along, reveals to us that we have sinned, because the Holy Spirit is alive, you know. He's alive in us. It's not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's alive in us. And therefore, when we sin, even with willful sin, When we sin, not the willful sin, not the deliberate sin, when we sin, he is in us to immediately tell us or show us that, look, you just sinned years a while ago, you know. So immediately he shows us that we are to confess our sins to him and repent. That is the importance, and that is how we live a holy life. He said that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Remember that without the Spirit of God, we are none of his. And without a holy life, we can't make it into the kingdom of God. Right? So remember now, deliverance is the children's bread. When a evil spirit goes out of a man, I want to touch on this quickly before I end this note. When an evil spirit is cast out of a man, and that is in Matthew 12, starting at verse 43. So when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Remember, we're talking about deliverance. When a person comes for deliverance, that the part where they cast out the spirit, or the spirit can leave by itself too, because the word of God can break that thing and the spirit leave. Then the spirit now said, I will return into my house. I remember I just said to you that the house, which is the temple, which is our body, right? So it said, I will return. This is the demon now, you know, the demon attack and a reason and a think with himself. He said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Now he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Alright, so I point this out to say that, and remember now, this is not the unsaved man. This is not the children of God. This is the unsaved, I should say, the unsaved. Now, look on this scenario. When a person go to the altar, right? Or a person watching a broadcast, or they go for a crusade or something, and deliverance is taking place, and they get delivered, the evil spirit leaves. It is important for that person to be saved, you know, and start to walk the journey, take up him cross and start to walk that journey, because look here, the deliverance will become a waste of effort, a waste of time and everything, because the evil spirit that went out, he's not happy and he's reasoning with himself after walking through dry places and finding no rest. He's reasoning and saying that he needs to go back to where he was cast out of. And he doesn't just go back by himself. He goes with several other demons, wickeder spirits than himself. So therefore, when him come back this time and habit and make this place his habitation, him not going nowhere, him staying. So look here now. This is what I've been pointing out. That deliverance, remember we started out with unsaved and save. When the unsaved come and they get deliverance, if they don't get saved, they go away not saved, it means that the evil spirit will come back, and it will come back with seven more. It will come back with stronger demons. And therefore the last state of that person is worse than it was before they get the deliverance. I want you to catch what I'm saying. If the person gets saved, again, it is important that fasting and prayer becomes a lifestyle. Reading the word of God and meditating in his word day and night, in season and out of season, becomes the order of the day. And remember now, I'm closing for real this time. Deliverance is the children's bread. The children's bread. He's saying that the people of God is free. You must be free. So I hope this deliverance topic that I spoke about today, I will put more depth in it on the website, where you can go and read up on some more and get more scriptures where you can meditate in. You can meditate on, right? So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Remember, go to the website, Revelation 13, verse 9.com. Amen.